Before getting into the finer points of VAT, it is important to appreciate what VAT actually is and how it works.
VAT is a tax on consumer spending. The government have empowered Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, often referred to in our lectures as simply customs, to manage this tax, and they have very wide powers to ensure that it is properly accounted for. VAT is a tax on consumer expenditure, and it is collected on business transactions and imports. The basic principle is to charge VAT on each stage in the supply of goods and services, output tax. If the customer is registered for VAT and uses the suppliers for business purposes, he will receive credit for this VAT, input tax. The broad effect is that businesses are not affected and VAT is actually borne by the final consumer. Basically, VAT registered businesses charge VAT on their sales at 17.5%. This is the current standard rate of VAT. As well as the standard rate of VAT, there are other rates that can apply to particular supplies. For example, the zero rate. We will cover these other rates in later lectures. The standard rate of VAT is increasing from 17.5% to 20% from the 4th of January 2011. Until we are satisfied that the increase in the standard rate to 20% is for the long term, the illustrations and examples in this lecture series remain calculated at 17.5% throughout 2011. If you are sitting any professional exams in 2011, you will, however, be expected to use the 20% rate for any 2011 supplies at the standard rate. Note that the practice and mock examinations which form part of your examination course and the revision material will use the 20% rate for any 2011 supplies at the standard rate. In a later lecture on tax points, we will look at the implications surrounding a change in the rate of VAT. For example, you might have a supply that straddles two rates. For now, let's consider a simple illustration.
The customer will pay the business the full sales price, including VAT. The business will then remit the VAT amount to customs. For example, here we have a solicitor who performs some conveyancing work for Joe, and the fee for his services is £400. If we consider this example before we look at the VAT position, so this is pre-VAT, we would have the following movements. The solicitor would send Joe the bill for £400, and Joe would then make prompt settlement, so £400 will go to the solicitor. The solicitor will then bank the £400, which, as far as he is concerned, is the fee that he wanted for his conveyancing service. Now, as we said, that is the pre-VAT position. If we add VAT to this situation, we would have the following transactions. The solicitor will send a bill to Joe for £400 plus VAT, that is £470. Joe will pay the solicitor £470, and the solicitor will bank the £470. But the solicitor has effectively acted as a collection agent for customs. £70 of the money sitting in the solicitor's bank account belongs to customs. Therefore, the solicitor will remit £70 to customs. You will then see that the solicitor is left with £400 in his bank account. That is the fee that he wanted for his conveyancing work, so he is no worse off. The person who is worse off is Joe. Joe has now paid £470 instead of £400. That is what VAT is all about. It is the final consumer, the customer or the public, that bear the cost of VAT. Businesses, such as the solicitor, simply act as collection agents for customs. So, in summary, just remember it is always the final consumer who bears the cost of VAT. Businesses will pay the VAT over to customs on a regular basis. This is normally quarterly, but may vary, and we will see more on that as we go on through the course. The VAT that businesses charge and then collect from their customers is called output VAT. Any VAT paid by the business on its costs is referred to as input VAT. So here we have two quite important terms, output VAT and input VAT. A VAT registered business will only pay the difference to customs. Consequently, the tax payable by a business in a quarter will be output tax minus input tax. that is, the output tax charged on its sales minus the input tax it pays on its costs. This is best illustrated by an example. Let us assume we have a shop and a customer. The shop is going to sell goods to the customer. So let us say the shop sells goods to the customers for £1,000 plus VAT. The customer, to secure the goods, will pay £1,175 to the shop. Now, from what we have seen so far, it will be quite reasonable to assume that the shop retains the £1,000 and the shop would remit £175 to customs. Now, customs need to end up with £175, and it will end up with £175, but not in this way. Let us look at the supplier of the goods to the shop. Here we have a factory which has manufactured goods and sells them to the shop. Let us say the factory sells the goods to the shop for £600 plus VAT. The shop, to secure those goods, will have to pay £705 in cash, that is £600 plus VAT, to the factory. Now, the factory has acted as collection agent for customs. They only want £600, but they have got £705. The factory will then retain £600 and will remit £105 to customs. So, as far as the factory is concerned, it's done its collection duty. Now, if we then move on to the shop, well, the shop has then bought goods costing £600 plus VAT. It is then going to sell these goods to the customer. So the shop sells the customer the goods for £1,000 plus VAT. The customer will then pay cash of £1,175 to the shop. Now the shop has incurred costs on which it has been charged VAT, so therefore it must do the outputs minus inputs calculation. The outputs charged by the shop were £175. The input VAT it incurred was £105. The difference of £70 is the amount due, which should be remitted by the shop to customs. Customs now have the required £175, but they got it from two sources. The factory gave them £105, and the shop gave them £70. This is effectively how VAT works. Customs will get the full amount of the £175 in their bank account, and that £175 will be borne by the customer. Customs will, however, receive it in stages. In this example, there are only two parties involved before the actual sale to the customer. Sometimes there may be four, five, or six more stages involved, and customs will get their bit at each stage. Outputs minus inputs. But eventually, they will find that they have in their bank account the amount of VAT that the customer suffered. Now we are going to have a look at a question, just to consolidate the overview of the VAT system. Here we have a forester that sells timber to a sawmill for £100 plus VAT. How much of VAT will the forester pay over to customs? Please insert the amount and then click the submit button. The output tax charged has been £17.50. There is no input tax being paid. He probably owns the forest. Consequently, the amount due to customs is £17.50. That would have been calculated at £100 times 17.5%. Let us now assume that the sawmill sells the wood to a manufacturer for £250 plus VAT. How much VAT would the sawmill pay over to customs? Complete the amount that you feel is payable to customs and then click the submit button. The output tax charged would have been £43.75. That is £250 times 17.5%. The sawmill has actually incurred input tax of £17.50. That was paid to the forester, which leaves an amount due to customs of £26.25. The manufacturer then sells a table to the retailer for £500 plus VAT. Again, how much VAT will the manufacturer pay over to customs? Complete the amount in the box shown and press your submit button. The output tax charged would have been £87.50, that is £500 times 17.5%. The input tax incurred by the manufacturer would have been £43.75. That would have been the amount paid in VAT to the sawmill, which leaves an amount due to customs of £43.75. The retailer now sells the table to Mrs. Hall for £700 plus VAT. How much VAT will the retailer pay over to customs? Please complete the correct amount in the box shown and press your submit button. Output tax charged has been £122.50, which is £700 times 17.5%. The input tax paid by the retailer will be £87.50. That was the VAT that was paid to the manufacturer by the retailer, leaving an amount due to customs of £35. So we have an example of the process of customs being effectively drip-fed their VAT. So let us summarise this example. Well, in summary, we have the following. The forester paid £17.50. The sawmill business paid £26.25. The manufacturer £43.75. And the retailer £35. Now in total that means that customs have got £122.50. So customs have got £122.50, and this was the amount charged by the retailer to Mrs. Hall. So effectively, Mrs. Hall has borne the whole of the £122.50. That is the VAT amount that she paid to the retailer, and customs will have that amount in their bank account. But it would have been received in four parts from four separate registered businesses. One thing to note about this example, and it effectively demonstrates how VAT balances the books, is that somebody's outputs, if they are selling to a registered business, will be somebody else's inputs. For example, the forester's outputs are the sawmiller's inputs. The sawmiller's outputs are the manufacturer's inputs. The manufacturer's outputs are the retailer's inputs. So this effectively acts as a payment on account system, for example. At the forester stage, £17.50 of VAT has been charged as output VAT, and £17.50 will have been paid over to customs. At the next stage, the total output tax charged on is £43.75, and this is effectively how much customs will have at this point. They will have £17.50 from the forester, plus another £26.25, giving £43.75. At the next stage, the output tax charged on by the manufacturer is £87.50. And again, this is how much customs will then have. They will have the £43.75 from the forester and the miller, plus another £43.75 from the manufacturer. We then move on to the retailer, and the retailer charged on £122.50 in output tax, which again is what customs now have. They have the £87.50 plus the £35 from the retailer. Customs ensure it works this way, so as soon as the chain stops, normally with the ultimate customer, the public, they have the correct amount of VAT. Now that you have an understanding of the basic principles of VAT and how it works, you should now move on to session 2.